How about now? Praise the Lord. Okay. It's not lost on me that today is September 11th, so I'd like to say a prayer. We'll ask all of you to join us in. And let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, so many souls were lost that day, Lord, but I just pray that they're all in heaven with you and they're celebrating your glory, Lord. We will never forget, we will never forgive those that did it, but Lord, only you can forgive those that did it. And I just pray again for the souls lost and for their families and their children and all of those that suffered as a result. But Lord, you can heal all hearts, you can mend all minds, Lord, and I just pray for those families. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my name's Carlos Alvarez, and I'm not Wallace, Pastor Wallace, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my testimony about my life and how I came to know the Lord. So the message that I'm going to talk about, my message is called What is Truth? And I like that message because that came from Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate said, "What is truth?" And I think that's what the world struggles with today, is what is truth? And so I put together 20 slides, so bear with me, okay? I'm usually in front of rooms in presentations. I'm not usually in front of rooms giving messages, so I may have a little business style, so I apologize, so bear with me, but I think you'll like the content. One of the things Wallace talks about at our church is that our church is biblically based. We believe in the Word of God and that every word in the Bible is inspired by God and it is the truth, and you cannot separate one word from the Bible. Once you do that, you start getting into problems, and I can tell you I've met several individuals that have walked away from the Lord. And when I was asking them questions, the reason they walked away from the Lord is they started not believing certain things in the Bible. Well, I'll believe this, but I won't believe that. Well, that was my struggle in the beginning. I loved the message of Jesus. I loved forgiveness. I loved everything Jesus represented. But I didn't really like the Old Testament a lot. The Old Testament was really hard for me to understand. But having now read it cover to cover 12 times, I have a better understanding of it. And now I can see how God put it all together. So I'll share that with you, so go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, hopefully you can see this. Is there any way we can turn off these lights up here so we can see a little bit better? Ray, would you mind turning up the lights up here? Thanks. So here's part of my testimony, and then I'll finish up at the end and I'll tie together a nice bow. But truth to me now and forever is every word in the Bible. I believe every word in the Bible, I'm not going to walk away from that. When I share, these are the passages I share the most. John 3:16, John 3:17, John 14:6, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and Psalms 91. I really believe if you meditate on those words, it will change your life as it has changed my life. I was able to get through COVID because of Psalm 91, because of Brother Ray back there who introduced me to Psalms 91, it was amazing. I'll tell a quick story. During COVID, we started meeting. And a lot of us in the church, we just started getting together and meeting. And I know you're not supposed to open up churches during COVID, but we did. And we all got together as a group. And that's when I decided I'm going to start reading the Bible cover to cover. And Ray had memorized Psalms 91 cover to cover. So in the back one day, I was teaching the youth, and I challenged them to do it. And they did. We had several kids that learned Psalms 91 cover to cover. So I challenge you, when you go home, go look at it. One other verse I challenge you to go home and read is Romans 1. If you want to understand what's going on in our world today, read Romans 1. And then after that, you better read Psalms 91 so you feel better about it. Okay? Prior to knowing the truth, I was separated from God because I used to blame the Lord for all that went wrong in the world, including all my shortcomings. And I still have plenty of shortcomings. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. But I'm better. I'm getting better. At least I acknowledge that I'm the problem, not her and not the Lord. Because, you know, I've realized that in life, as I get older, 90% of your problems are facing you in the mirror every morning when you wake up. And 10%, you're just going to have to figure out how to deal with. But anyway, I just, you know, when I was growing up and I would see all these things happening, another thing is I was born in communist Cuba, so that's a whole different story. I was ripped apart from my grandparents. My parents had everything taken from them. The saddest memory I have in my life is when I was 4 years old. I was at the tarmac of an airport, and I was waving my grandparents goodbye. I never saw them again. And so you can understand as a child going through that and watching your parents have stuff and have nothing and becoming poor and coming to a new country, having to learn a language, and just all these things you go through, it's really hard sometimes to have faith, especially when your parents don't go to church. My parents were not churched. So I struggled a lot as a youth trying to understand truth and why bad things happen to good people. If you go to the next slide. Okay. One simple conversation opened both my eyes and my ears to the truth. So background, I didn't get to know the Lord till I was in my early 30s. And the way I got to know the Lord was that I met my wife, and her father happens to be an elder at a church. And the only thing he required of me was, I want you to meet my pastor. And that was Pastor Dudley in Pittsburgh. So my travels took me from Cuba to Spain to the United States, Washington, D.C. I meet my wife. I ask for her hand in marriage because I knew enough to do that. And the only thing her father, who I loved to death, asked me to do was, he said, I want you to meet my pastor. So I said, sure, I'll do that. So I fly up from Tennessee because now I'm working in Tennessee. Lisa's in D.C. Her parents are in Pittsburgh. I haven't eaten all day. I'm starving. I meet the pastor. And the very first thing he said to me was, when you die, where are you going? So I had gone to Catholic church a couple times, so my answer to him was purgatory. So 4 hours later, I told him I believed in Jesus, but I kind of didn't. I just wanted to get out of there because I was hungry, okay? And I wanted to marry Lisa. So fast forward, we get married. People laid hands on me. It was a heck of an experience. But again, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. I just wanted to marry Lisa, so I'm like, okay, I'll do these things. In our first year of marriage, we had some difficulties. I'm at fault, not her, but I blamed her. And finally, she says, we've got to go to a church. So we go to a church in Knoxville. And for those of you that have been in Tennessee, God's all over the place. So, you know, you will go to certain parts of this country where I've been in certain parts. I've been in certain neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. where there is not a soul alive. You're looking at kids that have no souls, and it's the scariest thing in the world. And I'm telling you, that is Satan working in this world. It's scary when you see an individual and you see right through them and there is no soul. And I've unfortunately seen that. This was a great church. It was during Thanksgiving weekend, and they brought the homeless to the church, and there's about 1,000 people there. Lisa and I go back and forth on a number, and I'll never forget. And I didn't really want to be there, but I'm like, man, I got to make this marriage work, so I'm going to be there. I'm going to try my best. And of all people, I bump into the senior pastor, Pastor Culberson. And my whole issue, as I mentioned earlier, was that God, if you're good, then why do these things happen? And I couldn't release that. That right there blocked my relationship with them. It's like in the old temple, you had that curtain, and only the high priest could go in. Well, that curtain blocked my relationship with the Lord. And all of a sudden, he walks up to me and says, you have a question for me. And Greg, last week you were talking about coincidence. That's a coincidence, right? I don't know. That's the Lord. Because there's thousands of people, well, there's 1,000 people there. And all of a sudden, he and I bump into each other, and he asked me that. And so I said, okay, I'll give you my best shot. I said, why do bad things happen in the world? And he said, because Satan runs the world. And right there, the veil, just like when Jesus died on the cross, the veil dropped, the curtain dropped. All of a sudden, I'm like, wow, it all made sense to me. I'm like, I've had it wrong this whole time. God is great. God is good. Satan runs the world. Made perfect sense to me. Okay. Now the problem is I'd never read the Bible. So now you go to church, you got to start reading the Bible, right? And that was a challenge because, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't want to read the Old Testament because that was a lot of blood and guts and, you know, and God's killing everybody. At least I thought he was. And so I'm reading it, and so I just kind of stayed in the New Testament. But if you go to the next slide, this is what I have discovered, okay? And I've done research, and, you know, you can go online, you can do research, but, you know, one thing that Pastor Wallace teaches is basically this is the book. This is what you read. You can go to other sources, that's fantastic, but if it doesn't check with this, then get rid of that source. So I put a bunch of sources together to put this presentation together, and I cross-checked them because that's what I do in business a lot of times. My business philosophy is management by objective, management by exception, management by walking around, okay? So I try to check my sources, and so I pray to God that I check my sources correctly, and I'm giving you all the right information. And if not, Wallace can correct me when he comes back in a couple weeks. So, Satan is a beautiful fallen angel that wanted to be God. His insatiable pride led to him being cast out from heaven. Unfortunately, he fell to earth. His superpower is the ability to lie, tempt, and pervert the truth. That's what we're dealing with. That's who we're dealing with, okay? So go to the next slide. So Satan uses the tactics previously mentioned to try and separate us from God as a result, we live in a world that is confused, lost, perplexed, puzzled, unclear, off course. Have I missed any? I think I've hit most of them, but not add your own, okay? That's the world we deal in. And if you want to read about that world, today when you go home, read Romans 1. That will describe it to you in a T. And then again, after that, read Psalms 91 if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, John 3:16. So go to the next slide. Now, that's in red, so it's going to be a little bit hard to read. But basically, that right there is the lake of fire. So for those of you that are in the book, have gone through the book of Revelations, you'll kind of understand it. And what I wrote is, Satan's pleasure is your destruction. He and his followers want to steal every soul they come across or that seeks him. So it's kind of crazy, but there are souls that will seek Satan. But a lot of times he's stealing souls left and right. And the way he's stealing souls is, and I'm going to give you examples, biblical examples of how he steals souls. And I'm checking my time because sometimes I can go over and I want to make sure I don't do that for you. So go to the next slide. Okay, so this is where reading the Old Testament helps a lot. Okay, Ezekiel was a prophet. And if you want to find out about Satan, I put a couple verses in here on Ezekiel that'll tell you who Satan is. So a couple things. I put the word lament. I had a 2.6 when I graduated college, and I'm not an English major, so it's a passionate expression of grief. And then Tyre, the king of Tyre, is modern-day Lebanon. And this is a prophecy that the Lord told Ezekiel to tell the king of Tyre, or at least lament on it, okay? And it says, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, This is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorn you. Carnelian, crystallite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. That is God talking about Satan. Okay? He's telling his prophet, hey, I want you to go tell this king that he is like Satan. Okay? And good things didn't happen to the king of Tyre afterwards. Go to the next slide. If you go to Ezekiel 28:16-17, he continues. He says, Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you. Guardian cherub. Cherub is one of the unearthly beings who directly attends the God. From among the fiery stones, your heart became proud on account of your beauty and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. So there is God relating to a king through a prophet, what he's going to do to him. And so that's what God did with Satan. He just vanquished him, kicked him out, okay, of the heavenly world, and he put him on the earth. And so now we have to deal with him. It is what it is, right? Go next slide. You go to Isaiah 14:12-14. Kind of the same situation. This is the prophecy against the king of Babylon. Babylon today is current-day Baghdad. So where this city was, where Babylon was, it was 55 miles south of modern-day Baghdad. And so here's what God told Isaiah to say to the king of Babylon. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star. Morning star is how Satan is described. Satan was the morning star, okay? Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zophon, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. So here's God describing what Satan was trying to do. Again, if you don't read the Old Testament, you're going to miss this, right? You're going to miss this. So when you don't read the Old Testament, the New Testament isn't as powerful. Correct? We don't really know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us till we read the Old Testament and go, wow. And then we realize that human nature has never changed. Human nature has been the same since Adam and Eve till now, okay? And so therefore, if we don't think Satan's powerful, he's very powerful, but it's through his lies, his temptation, okay, and his twisting of the truth. Go to the next one. So now here's what's really cool. Now here's Jesus, okay, Luke 10, 16 to 24. So I'll give you some background. Here, Jesus took 72 disciples and gave them power to drive out demons and said, okay, go out there, go out in groups of twos. I want you to share the good news. You know, if someone refutes you, take your sandals, dust them off, don't go to their house, okay? And here it says this. This is really cool. It says, whoever listens to you, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. He's talking about the Lord. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to your name, submit in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus Christ witnessed, because he is God, he saw Satan falling from heaven. So here's my thing. If you don't believe every word in the Bible, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, Jesus would never lie to us, correct? See, and there's an example. Jesus saw Satan falling from heaven. Number one, that proves there is a Satan, correct? And that proves that he was there in the beginning with Jesus because he was cast down from heaven. It all makes a lot of sense when we start reading, especially the Old Testament. I reiterate myself. Now, here's the cool thing. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Do we have a lot of really smart people today that don't believe in God? It hasn't changed. Has not changed. It says, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal in him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Throughout Jesus's time and his testimony and all the great works he did, the old prophets prophesied about the coming of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is about the coming of Jesus, right? And even those that saw him do all these miracles still refuted it. So don't be surprised when you go share the gospel with somebody that they ignore it or they refute you or they call you a name because they did it to Jesus. I mean, think about this. He brought Lazarus from the dead. In the book of John says that Jesus committed so many miracles that you can't even put them in enough. There's not enough books in the world to put it all in, right? And even then, people refuted it. So there's, you know, so when you go share the gospel, you go share the good news, don't be upset if they don't accept it because they didn't accept it back then either. So that's, you know, kind of sad, but, you know, like my favorite saying, it is what it is. So if you go to the next slide. So John 83, 47, and this is kind of interesting, and I like this one because here's where, so Jesus is now in the temples. He's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the truth. And there's a lot of, at that time, there were a lot of Jews that didn't believe him, and they wanted to murder him, okay? And if you ever notice, Jesus, who did he have the biggest arguments with? He had the biggest arguments with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those were the religious leaders, okay? At one time, Jesus said to his people, do what they tell you to do, but don't be like them, okay? So, again, respect authority. They know the law. They will tell you what the law is. Follow the law, but don't do what they do because they neither follow the law or believe in the law, okay? Nothing has changed, has it? Nothing has changed. So I'll read this, and it says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. See, that's one thing was they were saying that Jesus wasn't Abraham's descendant. Yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you that I have seen the Father's presence, and you are doing what you haven't heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who had told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. I can only prove me. Can any of you prove me guilty of my sin? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God's heart hears God. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Sorry to read all that, but you got to read it in context, right? You got to read it in context. So there's another example of Jesus saying Satan exists, okay? C.S. Lewis one time said Jesus is one of three individuals. He is who he is, he's a liar, or he's crazy. So that's really what it boils down to, right? Do we believe he is who he says he is? He is God incarnate. He's one with the Father. He's either crazy or he's a liar. And that boils down to each individual. So if you go to the next slide, Genesis 2:16 through 17. So this is where Satan commits his biggest lie, his biggest sin, okay? So you're in the Garden of Eden, and God told Adam, you are free to eat. Now think about it. God gave Adam everything he needed, okay? And then he said, you need a partner, so I'm going to create a woman for you. But this is before he created a woman. And God said to Adam, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Would you all agree with simple instructions? Not complicated, pretty simple. How many of us have not followed simple instructions? Okay. I think of Saul. You know, Saul was actually, it could be argued, a better king than David. I mean, Saul was the real deal. The problem is, Saul would follow God's commandments about 90% of the time, and the other 10% he'd fail. And that's what caused him to lose his, you know, his family didn't continue the dynasty, because he was almost there, but he wasn't quite there. So we go to the next slide, Genesis 3:1-6. So here's where Satan comes in, and this is what Satan is the best at, and this is what he's the best at. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any trees in a garden? Doesn't that sound like us talking to our kids? And it says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in a garden. Then Satan says, but did God say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die? You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. And what God meant to Adam was, when he said you wouldn't die, he didn't mean immediately. He said you just won't die forever, because we weren't created to die. Okay, but because of what happened here, so you see how Satan twists things? He goes, you're not going to drop dead right now. I forgot to tell you that you'll drop dead eventually. And then it says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So now here's Satan saying, hey, if you want to, God loves everybody, you know, just don't worry about it. Do it. It feels good. Just go ahead and do it. That's kind of the same premise we have in the world today, right? Hey, come on. that stuff's 3,000 years ago. Come on. Really? Come on. Just don't worry about it. Okay? Then when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good to food and pleasing her eye and now also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it, ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So poor Adam. Sorry, Adam. Katie would never do that to you, by the way. Okay. Go to the next slide. Okay. So now we're going to transition, because we saw what Satan did, but now here's what Satan does again. And I love Job 1 and 2. I think I read it a lot, because it reveals a lot about how Satan operates. So one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. So think about what Satan just told God. Hey, I got free travel. My passport, I stamp it anywhere I want to go. I go to any four corners of the earth. And the amazing thing is, God didn't rebuke him. That's when I read this passage, did God rebuke Satan? So again, it tells us that Satan rules the world, because God, that, you know, me personally, you know, if someone comes and says it, you know, if Chase says, hey, Dad, I've been here and here, I go, don't go there and don't do this. And by the way, you don't own any of that, and I'm going to lock you up in your room for 3 days, right? But God didn't do that. God said, huh. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Then Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that the flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And here's what's amazing, and I'm struggling with this because you'll hear some people say that God punished Job. The way I look at it is, God puts a hedge of protection around us. He puts a hedge of protection around you, your church. This is for believers, okay? This is for believers. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he puts a hedge of protection around you, okay? I really believe that in my heart. And only if you remove yourself from that situation, right, are you putting yourself in danger. Because at the end of the day, if you get hit by a car, you die, you go to heaven. I mean, Paul said it best when Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. As Christians, we should not be afraid to die, okay? Now, Jimmy Buffett has a song, everyone wants to go to heaven, no one wants to go right now. I'm kind of in that boat, but we should not be afraid to die because, I mean, if you read what Paul wrote about heaven, it's phenomenal. Paul, who was a brilliant man, couldn't even describe how great heaven was. So again, it just amazes me. And then the cool thing about Job is after God killed his children, well, the house caved in on him, lightning bolts, everything. He lost all his wealth. He lost everything. He didn't lose his wife, though, interestingly enough, but he lost everything else, okay? He still praised God. He praised God. I mean, that's why Job's amazing to me. He's just absolutely amazing. Go to the next slide. So, after Satan had basically destroyed everything that Job had, including his children, and think about it, he killed his children. Next thing you know, he's back and forth, and Satan's a little bit mad because guess what? Job didn't curse God. So Job says, Satan comes back to God. God's meeting with all the angels and says, and I'll read it to you. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. Again, he's hanging out. He knows these other angels, right? He was one of them, okay? He knows them. And it says, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Now, think about this. God already knew where he came from. God knows everything. And by the way, Satan is not omniscient, okay? God knows everything. He knows your thoughts. Satan doesn't know your thoughts. Satan is limited in his powers, and any powers he has, they were given to him by God. Then Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God repeats the same message. There is no one like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. And then Satan says, skin for skin. Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. Okay, go to the next slide. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept good from God and not trouble? And all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And amazing, kind of Job, after all this happening, he almost got in an argument with his wife, right? I mean, think about this. You're Job. You've lost your kids. You've lost all your possessions. Luckily, you still have your wife. But now, I mean, imagine having every disease you could have without dying. That's what happened to Job, right? And so I think the Hebrew word for foolish is like lacking morality. I looked it up. So again, even his wife's against him. And as you know, the story goes on. His kids, I mean, his best friends are going, Job, what did you do wrong? So not only has all this terrible stuff happened to him, they're blaming Job for this. So now here's what's cool part. I put a note in here. Satan did not take liberties and exceed the rules the Lord had laid out. Even Satan knows God's authority, right? Isn't that amazing that here's Satan See, the way I think Satan would have operated, I think when Satan said, don't kill him, I would have killed him and said, whoops, sorry. Hey, Lord, you told me not to kill him. I dropped a rock on him. Unfortunately, I went to drop it on his arm and hit his head and it killed him, right? But Satan respects God's authority. So keep that in mind, because we serve a powerful God and we have victory through Jesus. We just got to remember that we have victory. But again, that's amazing, because if I would have been Satan, I would have killed Job. And I would have said, sorry, God, killed him. Didn't happen that way. Go to the next one. So here's the good news for this is where we got to remember that God is faithful. So Job 42, 12 to 17. So now, you know, Job's friends have, you know, tried to understand why all this happened to him. And then finally God said, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to bless him. And said, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemimiah, the second Keziah, and the third Kirin Habkuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so Job died, an old man and full of years. So if you read Psalms 16, that's basically what it says. If you serve me, you know, I will give you a long, I'll give you a long life, a long, healthy life. So Job lived out Psalms 15 and 16. Go to the next slide. So I was going to put my favorite comic book growing up. I love comic books. It was Spider-Man versus Superman, and there's an epic battle between Spider-Man and Superman. And I said to myself, how can Spider-Man even put up with Superman? Well, that's the same thing. You know, how can Satan fight Superman? So when I started reading the Bible, what really blew me away was reading Matthew, because if you would have said to me, Satan and Jesus, you know, are going to go at it, the way I would have done it is like, you know, Jesus would have gone and, you know, made him vanish. But that's not what happened. And this is why we need to pay attention and understand that Satan does run the world. So Matthew 4:1-4, this is after Jesus, if I remember correctly, at Canaan, you know, performed his first miracle with the wine. Now he's in, well, no, not, take that back. He's in a desert for 40 days. He's fasting. And it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Remember, Jesus is almost starving. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Linda Mitchell's one of her favorite books is Deuteronomy, and that's one of my favorite books. If you want to understand what God expects and how God sees what we should be doing as human beings, read the book of Deuteronomy. It's amazing. And it's funny because when I didn't have a walk with the Lord, I would never even bother reading the Old Testament. But if you look at it, Jesus knew the Old Testament. And the scary part, I'm going to show you in a couple slides later, Satan knows the Old Testament too, right? So that's why it's so important that you read the Old Testament to make everything flow, and then you'll understand what Jesus is really doing. And so in Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So for those of you that know the story of the manna, the Israelites are wandering through the desert, they're starving, and God drops manna every night, and so that everybody had food to eat because of the manna that he provided. Go to the next one. So Matthew 4:5-7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. I mean, that's pretty gutsy. I mean, to take the Son of Man and put him on the, you know, it's like if Satan came and put Jesus on the top of this church. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. So where I highlighted it in yellow, that comes out of Psalms 11:12. Satan knows Psalms 11:12. That's what he quoted to Jesus, okay? Deuteronomy 6:16. So it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massa. So it's a biblical battle, Jesus against Satan, and they're quoting scripture back and forth, and Jesus wins. Go to the next one. Finally, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oath in his name. There we go. That's why you have to know the Old Testament. Jesus knew the Old Testament. Satan knows the Old Testament. And Satan will use it against you if you don't know the Old Testament. Go to the next one. So, the good news is we have a Savior that paid the price once and for all. And here what I put was communion and baptism. Those are the two things that really Jesus instructed us to do. We break bread, we drink wine or juice, okay, to remember Christ, and then we're baptized, right? So in this one, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that's the gift that we've been given, the gift of Jesus Christ who takes away the sin of the world, okay? And so that's what's so awesome for us as Christians, is that we just have to remember that. You know what I'm saying? When we get put into situations, that's what we have to remember, okay? God sent his son because there's no other way for him to do it. If you go through the Bible, the reason Jesus spoke in parables was because a lot of people couldn't. Jesus says, if you don't understand these parables, how are you going to understand heavenly things, okay? So that's why when you read through the Bible, a lot of times Jesus speaks in parables because he's trying to, you know, a lot of people back then were agrarian, so he's trying to explain heaven to them in terms that they would understand, okay? And if you flip to the last slide, so here, again, my testimony. So these are pictures of the places that it took me to do my walk. So if I come up here, that right there is Havana. That's where I was born, in Havana, Cuba. I went from there to the slide right above to Madrid. From there, I went to Washington, D.C. area. From there, I went and met Pastor Dudley in Pittsburgh. And then from there, I went to Knoxville. And that's where I met Pastor Culberson, right? And the one thing, now Broadlands Community Church is my third church. All three churches I've been to, everything is here. So my best advice to anybody, if your kids are going to college or if you have new people in the faith, make sure they go to a church where this is what they teach out of, okay? It's okay to tell stories off of this, but if people don't believe every word of this, good things will not happen. I'll share one story before I leave on that. And so here's my testimony. And, I was privileged to hear Amir's testimony. I was privileged to hear Greg's testimony. I've heard most brothers in his church and sisters in his church testimony, but this is my testimony. My journey was full of sorrows, tears, and hardships, and frustrations. Give me a second. But the Lord never gave up on me. In my most lost times, the Almighty whispered to me, you will get to know me. God kept his word. The greatest gift I've ever been given is my salvation by having accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And what I've learned is, and what I share is, never give up on anybody. I always joke around, I'm always with non-believers. You can never give up on people, because I was one of those individuals that a lot of people probably had given up on or never even invited me to church. So, I mean, me meeting my wife, a glance, we made eye contact for like a tenth of a second. That's how God worked his magic to get to me to where I am today. Okay? I mean, a tenth of a second. Coincidence? I don't think so. Never give up on anyone. Share the good news, because we have the greatest news in the world, right? He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one gets to the Father but through me. And then I won't hit you with Psalms 91, but, you know, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And it all goes from there. It all flows from there. And in this world, if you're not tight with God, you're going to be in trouble. You're really going to be in trouble. Like I said, I share with people that are no longer in the faith. And I unfortunately know too many people who have lost the faith and are no longer in the faith. And I'm not going to give any names, and there's no way they're going to hear this. Maybe they will, I don't know. But I was this one with this one gentleman, and he was an elder at his church. And so I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, we're in a group of people. The group dwindled down so that, making sure I'm on time, the group dwindled down so that there weren't many people left. It was just me and him. And we happened to be at my house, and, you know, I always have my Bible. Anyone knocks on the door, whatever faith they are, I always grab my Bible, right? So he started talking about God, right? I'm like, well, this is fantastic. Well, honestly, he was not talking about God. He was talking about calling me crazy that I believe in God, right? So I went and got my Bible, and he looked at me, and we started talking about Jonah. And I said, why you want to bring up Jonah? He goes, well, because it's a false story. Who can believe that a person lived in a whale for 3 days? And I'm like, well, who can believe that God sent his only son, he died on the cross and saved us our sins, and who can believe that he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days? And I started regurgitating. He's like, oh, those are a bunch of phony stories. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, so one of the things I did was I shared as much as I could, but I had to separate myself from that individual because I'm not going to let you attack my Lord, right? And I'm not going to bring you into my household to attack God. I mean, that's biblical. So recently I found out his son has a different name now, okay? And he's beside himself. And I'll just, you can kind of, in today's society, you can understand where this is going, right? And he's beside himself. But I'm just saying that when you depart from every word in the Bible, you're opening yourself up to Satan. And there's nothing more than Satan wants to destroy you. And that's how he's going to destroy you. Start refuting the stories in this book. And here's what's the interesting part is, Jonah, Jesus even talks about Jonah in the Bible. So we know it's true, right? Why would Jesus? So I just sit there, right? I got another gentleman I know. I thought he was a believer. And I'm so excited. And we're talking. And all of a sudden he starts talking about the Bible. So I run to the kitchen table. I get my Bible. I put it down. And he starts criticizing the Bible, right? I'm like, and so we just had to agree to disagree. Well, he left his wife 20-some years, high and dry. That's Satan working. That is Satan working. That's what he does. That's what he's best at. He's best at destroying families. He's best at destroying children because he's a liar. He's evil, and he wants to destroy. So in today's society, I'm just telling you as a believer, the best thing I can do with you, read your Bible. Cover to cover, read your Bible. So when you're being attacked, because let me tell you something, Satan, I always used to think Satan was some scary figure, you know, with a tail, you know, with horns, smooth cat. And one of the ways he infiltrates is through churches too. I mean, if you read, if you read Timothy, if you read, you know, a lot of the New Testament talks about, you know, Paul warns us, right? You know, a lot of the apostles warn us that, hey, there are going to be people infiltrating our church, right? And they're going to say, well, did God really say this? Did God really mean that? You know, if we love, don't we love everybody? Don't we love them all the same? Of course, we love everybody, but we hate the sin. That's the difference. As Christians, we need to love the individual, but hate the sin. And let them understand, hey, brother, hey, sister, you know, I know you're stealing. Hey, brother, hey, sister, I know you're doing this. Hey, brother, hey, sister, I know, but guess what? We love you, we'll pray for you, but we hate the sin, right? Because we're all sinners. So anyway, that's one I wanted to share. I think I finished on time, and I'll just close this out with a prayer, if that's okay. Okay. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to just share my testimony with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and hopefully the message resonated, and hopefully nothing else, Lord. It'll get people in the Bible. It'll get people reading your word. It'll get people closer to you, Lord, because you reveal yourself. When we spend time with you, Lord, I've learned that the more time I spend with you, the more you reveal yourself to me. So I just thank you, Lord, for all the people here. I know they're all believers, but if anyone has any doubt, I'll be happy to pray with you. If anybody, you know, John 3:16, that's it right there. You can be in a room by yourself, repeat that, believe it, and you are saved. You have eternity with the Lord, and you will have a hedge of protection around the evil one because the evil one is roaring, and he's busy. He's very busy right now. So, Lord, I just thank you for everything, and God bless, and refreshments in the back. Thank you.